Ed Henry is the chief national correspondent for Fox News Channel, based right there in D.C. Been around a long time, and as we were talking about just before the break in the newscast, Ray, it's a very polarized society we live in. No matter what area of government you're talking about political issues, cultural issues, seems like each side hates each other equally.
Yeah, that's my, I guess, our first question for Ed this morning is will there ever be a sense of normalcy again when it comes to at least the Oval Office? And my point, Ed, is that Twitter, Facebook is, you know, it's erupted with people being able to fight each other, fight their friends over the issues. And now it just seems like, you know, it has made the world angry.
Well, what it is that since Watergate, we've been polarized, but now with social media involved in it, too, that amps it up. Ed, does it ever get back to what we used to know as kind of regular business hours in D.C.?
Well, I'm glad you guys started with an easy question. I mean, this is a one that's hard to answer because I don't see light at the end of the tunnel right now, in part because of what you said about social media. Everyone's already dug in to begin with and have been, as you rightly note, for context, you know, maybe back since Watergate and Vietnam and, you know, the Bork hearings and, you know, Iran-Contra, and then go right through, you know, Bush v. Gore. I mean, it's been polarized for a while. I think social media has poured gasoline on the fire. There are obviously wonderful aspects of social media in terms of interaction and you know, sometimes actually letting your listeners cut through the noise and the BS. And get information directly from the horse's mouth, but there's also just a lot of garbage on there that only fuels this fire of hatred and anger and back and forth. And so, you know, I was sort of amused coming out of the healthcare loss for the president that you heard some people saying, well, you know, he doesn't really need the Freedom Caucus. He can start working with Democrats. You know, they'll help him figure out the way forward on Obamacare. You know, give me a break. I mean, Democrats have not wanted to work with this president from day one. And for the last few years have insisted there was nothing wrong with Obamacare. So why all of a sudden will they work with this president? I just don't see it happening.
Do you think that as polarized as we've become, I mean, it works because at Fox News you might have one take on the story and MSNBC might have almost an opposite take on it, but people can pick out what source they care to believe or disbelieve. And I mean, it's been that way since the beginning of a republic. It was just newspapers versus cable news and Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, obviously cable news has added to the divide, as has social media, as we noted already. Look, I think we obviously, you're not going to be surprised when I say that. I think Fox, you know, offering the fair and balanced view is actually going to tell you the whole story. So I think there may be others who think they're giving you a slice of the story, but we really try to tell you the whole story, and I think that's why we've been number one for a long time.
It's amazing to me that as you peruse Twitter, and especially Facebook all of a sudden now, as you go through your Facebook daily feeds, they're teaching you how to spot fake news.
Well, thanks what is for fake
that.
News?
Thanks
what
for
is
that.
Fake news?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Yeah. I read both sides because I think it's important. Correct. Otherwise, I don't have an informed opinion. I value intelligence. I really do.
See, I agree with you. I just think sometimes this whole thing about fake news, it's taken over it through the last election. It's just an excuse about Democrats losing the last election. I think you're right. The best response to fake news is to use your brain. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I get people, you know, friends who will email me stories. Like some days it seems constant. Like, is this true? You know, just because they read it on the internet, you know, and it's some crazy story about, I don't even want to say what it is because it's so ridiculous on its face that, of course, it's not true. Sometimes I just, you know, these are friends. I don't even respond because I say, are you serious? Like, you think I should take time out of a busy day to comment on whether this cockadoo story is true or not? I think something you just said is brilliant, you know, which is use your brain. Yeah. I mean, people don't want to do that sometimes.
You have an obligation to make sure you understand what you're speaking about.
What did
Jackie Robinson mean, and what does he mean, I guess, to today's Major League Baseball stars? We're talking here with Ed Henry. He's the chief national correspondent for Fox News. Wrote a terrific book about Jackie Robinson called 42 Faith. What do you think? Do you think the current stars still have the sense of what Jackie Robinson meant to this America's pastime?
I think it's a fair question because I think there are a good number who maybe don't really fully understand his impact. You know, you look at baseball right now, and there are not a lot of African-American players. And as I've been doing this book tour for 42 Faith, some people have asked me, you know, do you think Jackie Robinson would be disappointed? Would he be angry about the lack of African-American players? It's hard to tell, obviously, but in some ways, I think he might not have cared because he wasn't just focused on opening up the game for African-Americans, quote-unquote. Yeah, it's more of a Latino game now, but he opened the door for Latinos as well. He opened the door for African-Americans to go to other sports, the NBA, the NFL, where we seem to see more black stars these days than in baseball. So in some ways, I think it misses the point when people focus on the lack of African-American players in Major League Baseball, because Jackie was not integrating, you know, just integrating one sport. I think his legacy that you so rightly refer to was about much more than baseball. It was something that even transcended sports and the gains we've seen in civil rights. Jackie Robinson is somebody who, you know, started the ball rolling in a big way in 1947. You're right, this is now the 70th anniversary of his first game at Ebbets Field. And guess what? We still have a long way to go in some ways, but we've made a ton of progress since 47. And I'm always instructed, as I was writing this book, by something that Dr. King said. You know, the March on Washington, of course, another pivotal moment in our nation's history, but that was not until 1963. Jackie did this in 47, decades before. And so not to take away from Dr. King's legacy, but Dr. King himself said that Jackie was a, quote, sit-inner before there were sit-ins, before anyone even knew what a sit-in was or called it a sit-in, and said, you know, you have to serve me at this lunch counter. Jackie was just doing it, and I think that's the ultimate.
And did it with a lot of grace and style, that's for sure.
He really did.
When you were growing up in Queens, were you a Mets fan or a Yankees fan?
Well, I got to be honest that I probably should have been a Mets fan, but I was growing up in the 70s when the Yankees were good. So some of the New York stations, as I talk about 42 Faith, tease me for being a quote-unquote front-runner and getting behind the Yankees. And I guess I cannot tell a lie. I think it's true. I became a Yankees fan. And actually, I heard you in the newscast. I heard what your colleague. I'm in New York today, and I'm thinking about getting over to see the White Sox and the Yankees. Jerry Reinsdorf's a good friend, the chairman of the team, of course, and actually is – plays a big role in 42 Faith because Jerry was at Jackie Robinson's first game in 1947. And so I spent a significant amount of time with him during the research of my book, and he's a character in the book. So if you're a baseball fan, there are a lot of baseball stories. It's not just about Jackie Robinson's faith in God, which I argue in the book was kind of the deciding factor that helped him overcome people shouting the N-word from the stands, people threatening his life, all because he wanted to play baseball. Yeah, there's a great faith component to 42 Faith, but we've also got a lot of great baseball stories. And so I might actually go see the Yankees and the Sox tonight.
Well, today on behalf of John and Ray, shout out the S-word, Sox. Go Sox.
Go Sox. Oh, so we don't even, just go right, no White Sox.
Right,
so you
to
just say Sox.
Yeah, go right to the Sox.
Well, I run into all these Red Sox fans, and they annoy me as a Yankees fan. And so from now on, I'm just calling them Sox.
There you go.
Ed, thanks. We appreciate your time as always. We'll be watching on Fox News, and we'll look for you at the game tonight.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Take care. There goes Ed Henry. 42 Faith is the book.